This is the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy with me as well. And we're going to look at a little history on this edition of the program. Has the United States changed very much? Has the radical agenda, the social revolutions of the last 40, 50 years shifted? Are things getting so much better than they were in the 1960s? The revolutionaries, have they changed since they were on the streets? Now they took the classrooms on into the courtrooms. They were in t-shirts and plaid shirts. Now they're in suits. Now they're the district attorneys for San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Chicago. So has anything really changed? There's an interesting article from Washington Examiner. It came out just this week. Serious crime on the increase in the cities. And liberal prosecutors, Los Angeles, San Francisco, aiding and abetting by refusing to prosecute. So have things really changed that much? The article is really centered around Chesa Boudin, the son of radical terrorists, the Weatherman Group. In fact, I just saw pictures of his mom in the 1960s, arrested, I'm guessing, for the bombings.
Yep. They were terrorists. They were active terrorists. They ended up becoming professors. And
no, they were in prison first. Yeah. Then they were professors.
Yeah. Right.
Come on, get that straight.
Okay.
Okay, they're on the streets bombing terrorists on into the professorships, into the classroom, and then now they've been moved into the courtrooms.
They've been graduated
across
into
this country.
Courtrooms.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't have that in the 1960s. You actually did have still a few law-abiding citizens who were the judges and sometimes the professors. But that changed in the 1980s, 1990s. This thing didn't go away. I think people have the impression the 1960s went away. The social, political, cultural revolutions in the 1960s, they went away and now everything's good. I don't think so. Now it's made its way into the warp and woof of the K-12 schools. It's made it into the warp and woof of the courtrooms. It's made it into the warp and woof of the political state. And yes, there has been the loyal opposition. A few Republicans show up to provide a bit of the loyal opposition, but it doesn't appear that these weathermen went away.
No. It's attributed to Abraham Lincoln, but I'm not sure that you can verify it. And the statement is the philosophy in the classroom in one generation will become the philosophy of government in the next. And that is certainly the case here, with Boudin's parents being radicals and then teaching in the classroom, and now he is in the courtroom.
He was adopted by Ayer.
Yeah.
Bill Ayer. You are familiar with Bill Ayer?
Right.
Another important member of the Weatherman.
Weatherman.
And an influencer of the President of the United States.
Yeah, influencer of President Obama.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Chesa Boudin is elected as prosecutor for the city of San Francisco, aids and abets crime by refusing to prosecute. He is, quote-unquote, in the article from the Washington Examiner, a trailblazer of a movement, rejecting the notion that to be free, we must cage others. So that was his policy. That was his platform. He was elected as one who said, okay, no more prosecutions, at least to some significant extent. He ran on a platform of non-enforcement with the intent of prosecuting the police. Now, let's run over that again. This guy's a district attorney for San Francisco, running on a platform of non-enforcement of laws against criminals, and with the intent that he would prosecute police officers. If he could.
It just seems like everything's turned on its head.
Seems odd, doesn't it?
It does.
The city elected him. He's out for now. George Gascon in Los Angeles faces a recall as well. But according to the article, this is something that's happening in the major cities around America. And we're going to get to this, but violent crime is way up in these cities. No surprise there. Philadelphia's Larry Krasner, also a district attorney there, he came into office, purged prosecutors who wanted to prosecute, and assiduously implemented the non-enforcement agenda. In 2021, Philadelphia had a record high 562 murders, 6 more than New York City, a city 5 times its size. So fivefold the violent crime in Philadelphia, as you saw in New York City. And Krasner was just reelected with a whopping 65% of the vote. So apparently people are still enthusiastically in support of him. George Soros is very much behind these guys, according to this article. Also, George Soros has gone up against James Dobson. He's opposed, our ministries and anything that's good. George Soros has pretty much gone against anything that's good in the country. And his agenda is to fund these campaigns. These liberals find committed liberal lawyers which, by the way, according to the article, are mass-produced in academia, and runneth over in public defender's offices and law firm criminal law practices, and apparently these liberals back them with campaign funding that would overwhelm any competition. Their theories pour out of the universities, resonating in the media and popular culture. The Weatherman terrorists are now running university departments, and they have been given these offices, various district attorney positions across America. So that's where things are, my friends. Chess's mom and dad, what were they doing?
Well, she was released in 2003 after being sentenced to prison because of her involvement in a robbery. And also, she was influenced by radical politics. She attended the Little Red Schoolhouse in downtown Manhattan, a training ground for liberal thinkers. She majored in Russian studies at Bryn Mawr College. She was behind the Iron Curtain studying at the University of Leningrad. She spent time with Russian peasants on a farm. So
she's a communist.
Yeah, she's a Marxist. Yeah.
Well, Chess's mom and dad were involved in the Weatherman thing. What do terrorists do? They create disorder. They create anarchy. Now, what is Chessa doing?
He's creating anarchy by not enforcing the law.
Right. So they created anarchy on the streets. Now he creates anarchy on the streets.
Yeah.
By his position as district attorney. That's his agenda. That's the agenda of these BLM folks and the rest of the crowd that are out for a revolution to overturn the social order. Let's talk about that more in just a moment in the Generations broadcast. Folks, our families, our future families are crying out for shepherding. Shepherds, fathers, husbands, godly leaders. Our churches are crying out for shepherds, elders, pastors, deacons. But where will we find men who rule their households well and shepherd well in the household of God? Men, is there anything more important you will do in your life than to be the shepherd that God has called you to be? Does God have a call on your life to be a father, a shepherd in the home? Does God have a call on your life to be pastors, to invest in the precious body of Christ, the church, that has been so despised by the world and so neglected by God's people? Would you invest in something this important? Would you surround yourself with good teaching, prayer, counsel, other shepherds to shepherd you, to be the shepherd God wants you to be? We have sought out the best shepherds and pastors for our Shepherds Training Conference, which takes place each year out here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Now, this is not a seminary. Seminary professors can make for good seminary professors, but godly, faithful pastors and fathers will prepare more godly, faithful shepherds and pastors in the home and church. If you feel God's call on your life to spiritual leadership, if you sense this is the time to invest in preparation, encouragement, strengthening, guidance for spiritual leadership in your home or church life, register now for our Shepherds Conference, taking place October 24th to 28th this year. It's 5 days of immersive teaching, fellowship, meals together, prayer, small groups, and a life-transforming, family-transforming, church-transforming event. Early registration is only $349 for room, board, and the whole week's program. Register now at generations.org and click on events. Register at generations.org. That's events. And we're back on the Generations broadcast. And taking a look at this article from Washington Examiner, Chessa Boudin, son of a mom and dad that were involved in the Weatherman terrorism back in the 1960s and 1970s. The difference, of course, being that Chessa has a suit. You see him in the picture there. He's got a suit. His mom and dad were in T-shirts.
Well, actually, she was in the house when they were building a bomb. And one of her contemporaries, Terry Robbins, crossed two of the wrong wires and the bomb detonated prematurely, killing himself. But she survived. All her clothing was blown off, and she ran naked into the streets and disappeared for 11 months. So she's running naked, but her son is in a suit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So maybe she wasn't in a T-shirt at the time. But friends, there isn't much difference. And this is the point I want to make, is that the revolutionaries of the 1960s were in T-shirts and turtleneck sweaters. the revolutionaries of the 21st century are in suits and they work as district attorneys in the major cities in America. That's the difference. Bill, these are attempts to overturn the social order. Now, they may not be able to overturn America overnight, but they're working on destroying the cities. The assumption of the left is that anarchy can help bring about a revolution, which can upset the social order, and then they can introduce communism or something better, quote unquote. So that's the idea here. It's been going on for a long time, right? French Revolution attempted it, Bolshevik revolutions. So the idea of revolution on the part of the communists is to create an anarchy, to bring about a revolution, and to introduce something, quote unquote, better. The idea is that you create something better by deconstruction and destruction. The idea is that the people in a democracy will eventually beg for more tyranny when they are assaulted by anarchy. Now, it's true that the transgression of the people produce an increase in the princes thereof. That's the Proverbs. The Proverbs say you get the people transgressing, you get more anarchy amongst the people, and you will see an increase in tyranny. The breakdown of morality among the people will pave the way for tyranny. And that's why the communists were very much interested in abortion, homosexuality, etc. And by the way, the first abortion laws, legalizing abortion and encouraging homosexuality, came from the Bolsheviks.
Right.
Way, way back. So the Bolsheviks very much in favor of overturning the morality of the people. In fact, if you go all the way back to the Marxists of the 1840s and 1850s, you're going to see something similar. You're going to see something similar coming out of the French Revolution. The Napoleonic Code would do something similar. So there's always been an interest in destroying the morality of the people in order to create an environment in which tyranny might increase. But as tyranny plays off on anarchy, they play off on each other and they grow together. Inevitably, the end result must be the destruction of a civilization. So in other words, you know, tyranny is there to overwhelm the anarchy. Anarchy comes back in. Tyranny overwhelms the anarchy. They play off on each other until there's so much egregious violation of God's laws and so much chaos in a society that you're left with the judgment of Almighty God upon a society. And that's, my friends, the end of what happens with humanist systems that have rejected God's laws. And so that's where we're headed. Well, violent crimes are on the rise now in six of America's major cities and set to outpace the already historic levels of 2021 violent crime. That, according to Fox News just this morning. Baltimore, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, New York City are all on pace to break their 2021 levels of violent crime halfway through this year, with the nation's largest city leading group. According to crime data reviewed by Fox News, New York City has seen a 25.8% jump in violent crime at this point in 2022 compared to the same time in 2021. Violent crime includes homicide, rape, assault, and robbery. So that's what's happening in America. You're certainly seeing an increase in anarchy on the streets, while at the same time, these liberal governments are doing the best they can to allow for increased levels of anarchy. And so, you know, it seems to me that the encouragement is more anarchy, not less, at this point, at least with the current district attorneys that are out there doing the things that they do.
That's it. It's anarchy in the courts, which results in anarchy in the streets. And there's no law except man's law. If you don't honor God's law, then you will end up with anarchy. Each man becomes a law unto himself, which is exactly where this leads, and that's where Jesse Bowden is. It is that he ignores law and becomes a law unto himself. So he doesn't prosecute under the law. He declares himself the lawgiver. And that's terrorism. That's exactly what a terrorist does, and that's what his parents did. It's interesting that his adoptive parents, the article in the New York Post says they tried to keep him out of the spotlight. They kept Jesse out of the limelight in hope that he could have an impact on the future and also so that he would have a better chance of living a normal life, end quote.
And to the extent that the liberals will refuse to prosecute murder and prosecute robbery and prosecute crimes, to the extent that they will refuse to act as a civil magistrate, they have given up their right to be the civil magistrate or to be respected as a civil magistrate. Why? Because Romans 13 certainly lays out the definition, the description, the prescription for a civil magistrate, and that is to punish the evildoers. The civil magistrate has been given the sword by Almighty God as a minister of God to avenge that which is evil as defined by God's law. And to the extent that these civil magistrates refuse to do so, they have abdicated their right to be respected as a civil magistrate. And in the end, I guess you're just going to have to put together a new civil magistrate as civilization collapses around us, whether that just be in the cities or whether that be the entire nation. Now, biblically speaking, you can't just let axe murderers go free, although that's what liberals want to do. That's what Nathaniel Hawthorne wanted to do with Hester Prynne. That's what the journalist Capote wants to do with the axe murderers. Remember the Capote theme or film that was written on the book, written by this liberal homosexual author by the name of Capote. And he sympathized with the axe murderers in the story. And his goal, and the goal of every liberal, is to be sure that the axe murderers go free. That's what every liberal pastor wants to do, water down the law of God and let everybody go free. That's why liberals don't like the doctrine of hell and the atoning work of Jesus Christ. But here, they're just wrong. These are demonic lies. Sin demands punishment. And that's the piece these guys don't like. Liberals have never liked God's laws, and they certainly don't like the idea that God imposes temporal judgments upon people who commit adultery, as in the case of Hester Prynne, and people that chop people into pieces, as in the case of axe murderers from Kansas, despite the fact that liberal journalists like Capote would rather they just go free. So the bottom line here is that sin demands punishment. Now, you know where I'm going to go with this. And that's why Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth. He received the punishment for our sins. Now, again, the liberal theologians don't like this. They want to say, God just winks at all this. No big deal. God isn't just. God doesn't stand by his law. And so they shove off the doctrine of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. Well, the bottom line here, friends, is Isaiah 53, verse 5 gives us, he was wounded for our transgressions. That is, the very Son of God took the brunt for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So somebody had to take the brunt of the punishment for our sins, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ.
And that's because God demands justice.
Absolutely.
And he sets the standard for justice. It's rendering unto each person what is due according to his law. But with Jesse Bowden, it's not the case. Given his past and faced with allegations that he was favoring lawbreakers just like his parents, his response was this. He was very unapologetic. Quote, "You point me to a place in the criminal justice system where the quality of justice is not arbitrary." End quote. Well, I can. It's called God's law.
Yeah, but he rejects God's law, and that's the problem. Well, as Christians, what do we do? So how shall we then live? Let's answer that question. The first thing we do is we trust in Jesus Christ as the very Son of God, the sacrifice for our sins. And we recognize God's law. We recognize that we broke God's law, and yet God demands justice. He demands justice in the courtroom of Almighty God in which, well, Jesus met the demands of justice by his atoning sacrifice. And then secondly, we want to be the salt of the earth, preserving our communities if possible. Matthew chapter 5, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. So we are the salt. We are the light. We have a preserving influence upon the world around us. We want to bring God's law to bear in civil government. If we have a role in civil government, we must put murderers to death. We must require labor for criminals so that they can restitute for their victims. And this is the obvious stuff. This is what the civil magistrate said. Oh, by the way, the civil magistrate should not be redistributing the wealth. That's one thing that they're not supposed to do. But they are supposed to bring God's wrath upon evildoers. They're required to do that. That's their job. So God has laid out for them in his word. And so if we have a role in civil government, then we must put the murderers to death. That's God's law. Secondly, there's a point at which you've got to dust your feet off and leave the place for God's judgment. And I get that too. But we have responsibility to continue to bring the gospel message And at the point at which it's rejected, the point at which God is judging the city, it may be a point at which we pull back. We have a responsibility to protect our families from violence, for sure. And if the civil magistrate's not doing that, what do, Bill? You got to protect your family.
Yeah. Leads to vigilantism, does it not? Yeah.
Well, at the very least, it might result in fleeing. We might have to leave the city in order to protect our children. I mean, that's possible for families. And then finally, let's look at the root of corruption. The root of corruption, obviously, is happening in the education system and the universities. That's the cesspool in which these monsters are created. People are ruining America. Where do they come from? They come from these university classrooms. We've talked about this before. College professors have become even more liberal over the last 25 years. It's a self-perpetuating, telescoping, intensifying apostasy. Now, the liberal to conservative ratio among professors is 5-1 per the Higher Education Research Institute at UCLA. In 1990, 42% of professors called themselves liberals. Today, that's 60%. So it's far, far worse than it was in the 1990s. And the reason for this, the universities set the direction for the nation. The universities are liberal. It was a 3-1 ratio. Now it's a 5-1 ratio. Why? Well, because the universities are training the next set of university professors. Remember, A students wind up teaching at the universities, and B students will work for C students. Just keep that in mind, that typically the way it works. A students do very well in the universities. As they hear the lessons and they do well in the tests, they will turn around and become the next set of university professors. And the 3-1 ratio turns into a 5-1 ratio, liberal to conservative. And then it turns into a 10-1 ratio of liberals to conservatives. And then it turns into a 20-1 ratio as university professors. And why is this? Because the universities set the direction for the nation. The churches don't. The churches don't set the direction for the nation. The people generally ignore the pastors. They send their kids off to the universities to get indoctrinated and discipled for 4 long years by liberals and skeptics and atheists and agnostics. And the pastors are trained by the universities. And the red state families almost always send their kids to blue state universities. Then what happens? Well, the red state kids turn into blue state voters. All right, so that's the way it's been working for the last roughly 50 to 60 years. Until a few parents wake up and realize, you know what? We're not doing this anymore. We're not playing this game anymore. And that's what I'm hoping will happen as a response to this program. Now, the books that I think have been the most important to wake parents up to this phenomenon in our offerings are Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, and Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. I encourage you to the book Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to get a better feel for how the faith has been undermined and destroyed through philosophers and, of course, the educational establishment. So get a copy of Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West at generations.org today for your children, your grandchildren, those who may be attending public universities or any of the universities in which, well, the fear of God is not the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Give them the book Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West to better understand the flow of Western thought and the destruction of the faith in the Western world. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.